past few weeks, we've been talking about Daniel, and I'm glad you guys have been listening from getting some of those answers right. But this is our last week, and the first week we talked about Daniel and the trial he went through when it came to King Nebuchadnezzar saying, if you can't read my dream, I'm going to have everyone killed. And then the next week, we talked about his friends being put in a furnace because of what they believed. And we're getting to the end of Daniel's life in this part of the story. And Daniel's, they think he's around in his 80s right now. King Nebuchadnezzar isn't king anymore. There's a new king called King Darius because the Persians had taken over the Babylonians. And Daniel's old now, and they had made this law. It was like a 30-day long law that said everyone must worship the king and no one else, no other gods, no other idols, nothing, only the king. But Daniel had different plans. He wanted to keep his faith real. He wanted to keep it 100. He had different plans, and what he did, it'll say in Daniel 6, 10 through 12, it says, when Daniel learned about the document had been signed, he went into his house. The windows in its upstairs room opened toward Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees, prayed, and gave thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel petitioning and imploring his God. So they approached the king and asked about the edict. Didn't you sign an edict that for 30 days any person who petitions any god or man except you, the king, will be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, as a law of the Medes and Persians, the order stands and is irrevocable. Now, King Darius actually really likes Daniel. And you go on to read that he's really upset that this is happening, and he weeps and he cries about it, and he's really upset about this. And but what I really want to take away from it is that Daniel here, he has a choice. He has a choice to do one of two things. He either makes the choice to follow that law and to worship a king as a god, or he can keep worshiping God, and he's taking the chance that he's going to die. And the reason the lion's den comes into the story is because the Persians really, they prided themselves in how they killed and tortured people. And so feeding people to lions was something that was a normal thing back then for the Persians. And you see here, Daniel made, obviously, the choice to keep worshiping God. And you see in the story that he gets put in the lion's den, and he gets put in there, and most of us know what happens, but we'll get into that in a little bit here. But what I want to take from this is faith is a choice. We have a choice to be faithful. And there's always a choice. But we have to ask ourselves, what's keeping us from being faithful? What's keeping us from making that choice to be faithful? So I want you to pull your phones out again, just like we did on the first week. Pull your phone out. If you don't have a phone, share one with someone. And I want you to open up the picture app or Snapchat, whatever, so you can see yourself. I want you to look at yourself. And I just want you to just look at yourself for a minute. Stare at yourself. I don't care if you take selfies, but listen. I want you to listen to this verse while you look at your phone, okay? Listen to this verse. Romans 8, 31 through 32. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? So what I want you to see is that when we make the choice to have faith and put our faith in God, the only thing that is standing in our way is ourselves. The only thing. No one else can make you not have faith. Nothing else in this world can make you not have faith. It's your life. Nothing else can tear you away from that. Only you can. Because it says here in the beginning of the verse, what then are we to say about these things? Like, life happens and I get it. It sucks sometimes. But what this is asking in this verse is, how are you going to react to that? Are you going to cower? Are you going to let the world take over your life? We're going to do what Daniel did, and you're going to say, if God is for us, who can be against us? So I want you to keep looking at your phones, and I want you to say this. I want you to look at your phone. You're going to talk to yourself for a second, and I want you to say this. You can't stop me.
You can't stop me.
Wow, you guys are all really scary. Say it one more time. Okay, because we have God on our side. You're the only one that can shut God up in your life. Listen, guys, this is serious because we don't ever think about this. This is something that is camouflaged to ourselves. Because in this day and age, we don't think about it. We're so in tune to social media and seeing pictures of ourselves and these perfect lives that were camouflaged, that everything is all right. But it's not. You might think it's all right, but it's not. How often do we need to tell ourselves, you can't stop me? We need to do it all the time because we're the ones that keep ourselves from doing what God asks us to do. And I want you to just think about this. Daniel made that choice. And whether we want to believe this or not, as believers, our lives aren't going to be perfect. God's never promised a perfect life to us if we're believers. Think about it this way. Jesus was perfect in himself. Everything he did was perfect. But his life wasn't perfect. Think about it. He was homeless, walked around for 3 years on his feet, was mutilated and killed. His life wasn't perfect. So what makes us think our lives are going to be perfect? So we have to ask ourselves, how are we going to react to these things? Are we going to let the world take us over? Are we going to let the world tell us who our identity is? Or are we going to actually truly think about what that verse says? If God is for us, then who can be against us? And I hope you guys can see where I'm going at with this. I hope you can see that this whole series that we've been doing about faithfulness, it all starts with selflessness. It's easier to get rid of outward idols. It's easy to get rid of our phones. It's easy to get rid of social media. It's easy to get rid of YouTube. It's easy to get rid of video games. It's easy to get rid of maybe toxic friends or whatever. But the hardest thing for us to do is to get rid of ourselves, like we talked about last week. Have I truly died to myself and lived for Christ? That's the thing we're going to struggle with the most in our whole lives because we always want to do what we think is we know is best for us. But we miss the point of God has priority for our lives. And whether or not we like it, we've taken that step as believers to say, God, whatever you say, I'm going to do. Because who are we to deny God? We're no one to deny God. So getting into the next slide, it all starts with God. It starts with him, and it's always going to start with him. It's really easy to come here and just listen and love being here and love being at church and love hanging out with our friends. We got to ask ourselves, are we here because we love God? And truly, are we here because we love God, or are we here because we just want to see our friends, or because we want to play a maze game or hear the worship band? All those are good things, but it shouldn't start there. It shouldn't start there at all. And if it starts there, it continues in his word. And this is what we're going to get into, talking about whether or not we really know God. Because the Bible isn't just for us to read one verse and make ourselves feel really good. Some verses can do that. Some of Scripture can do that. It's absolutely true. But what the Bible is meant for is for us to know God. The whole Bible is a story of God's love story for you. For you to understand how God loves you, why God loves you, what God does for you, and for you to know him. Imagine this. Imagine you having a friend that you absolutely know nothing about. Someone comes to ask you and says, so what's their favorite food? What do they like to do? They like to take naps? I don't know. But that's generic. If you don't read God's word, then how can you know him? And if you don't know him, how can you love him? And if you don't love him, then you gotta ask yourself the question, well, what am I doing? What is this life for? See, the Bible isn't just some book that we tell you guys to read. How are you supposed to know who God is, the decision you made, if you don't read the one thing that he gives us to let us know who he is? How are you supposed to have faith if you don't know why you're supposed to have faith? You can't just take it from me, and you can't just take it from the leaders. For all you guys know, we could be blowing a bunch of smoke up your butts. No, I'm serious. How many of you guys have ever taken the time to actually check what we've talked about up here or talk about in small groups? Like the verses. Check up on the verses. Like, how often do you guys read God's word and actually know him and feel him in your lives? That's the real question. Do you really know him? Do you know why you love him? So if you look at Daniel and you look at Daniel's life, Daniel didn't have what we have. We have so much more than what Daniel had. We have this thing right here. Daniel didn't have that. But Daniel was faithful enough. If you saw, listened. Three times a day he was praying, talking to God, having faith and trust in God. That's all he lived for. It didn't matter. He had a normal job. I mean, I guess it wasn't normal, but he was working for the king, but that didn't keep him from worshiping God in everything he did. He did his job well because he wanted to honor God. You don't know how to do any of this stuff if you don't read his word. If you don't start with him, made the decision to follow God, and then continue that, then what was it for? And I hope that this video I'm about to show you If you don't understand what I'm saying, maybe this video will help open your guys' eyes of what it really means to believe in the gospel, what it really means to have faith in God. So check this video out.
We see the story of Jesus going to the cross, and everything seems to kind of be hand in hand. And then there's this one character that seems to interrupt the narrative. His name's Barabbas. We don't even know much about him except that he's a murderer, a leader of an insurrection, a rebel. And why he's even mentioned, sometimes I'm not so sure. It's like, what? This is about Jesus going to the cross. And so in this moment, Pilate thinks, I hold the destinies of these two men in my hand. I know the Jews have a tradition that on a holy day, I will release one of the prisoners on death row. Pilate stands on this audacious stage, who now presents Jesus, Son of the Living God, versus Barabbas, the thug and rebel. He says, all right, who do you want? This is blasphemy. This has gone too far. There's no comparison. This is a rightful prisoner, a man who should be on death row. He's a rebel against Rome. He leads a rebellion. He murders people. He's a bad man. He's a thug and he's a crook. He deserves the chains and he deserves the crucifixion. Jesus, what has he done but heal, restore, deliver, set free, open blind eyes, open deaf ears, heal the lame and the leper? What has Jesus done? Who do you want? We want Barabbas. Yeah. Give us Barabbas. They give us Barabbas. The Roman soldiers come up and they put the key in and they unlock Barabbas from his chains and shackles, and he walks down the platform, welcomed by all of his thug friends. Yeah, the people love me. Yeah, that's right. I don't even know who this Jesus guy is, but all I know is my people love me. There seems to be no conscience in Barabbas. There's no record of him turning to Jesus and saying, I owe you everything now, for you have set me free. No, I don't see any of that in Barabbas. And God knew that. Jesus stood there, silent, for he knew the will of the Father. He said, it's fine, Father. Let him have Barabbas. For Jesus knew that the Father would have to treat Jesus like Barabbas so he could treat Barabbas like Jesus. Barabbas thought it was the people that set him free. No, 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 no. It was the love of the Heavenly Father. I realize who Barabbas really is. That's me. That's you. That's us. And I felt, I was reading this the other day, and I felt God speak to me. I love Barabbas. I love him. But God, he's a bad man. I love him. And I wanted him to go free. But didn't you know that he probably would have never acknowledged the free gift. Yeah, but I love Barabbas. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his son for Barabbas, even the one he knew would walk away from Jesus and his free gift and never come back. He loves him. And the nerve, the gall, and the audacity of believers to think, I got saved by grace, but now that I'm in this deep, dark place of bondage, I better work hard to get myself out. What? That's the opposite of the gospel. Are you bound? Are you held under the power of this temptation, this sin, the sexual urges? Do you feel like it's controlling you? What are you gonna do? I'm gonna shake myself free. Stop it! No, you won't!
for the powers of hell and the urges of sin and sexual temptation. You will not overcome it, and you will never overcome it. You'll just be another statistic. There's no answer within yourself. Your own marriage, your own goodness, your own discipline, your own devotion will not save your marriage and will not save your kids. There's only one, and he's the one that took your place. He's the one that stood silently on the platform with Pilate and said, yes, let him have Barabbas. Take me. How many times have I stood on that platform with Pilate and Jesus, and I'm the Barabbas, and they start to take my chains off, and I say, no, no, I deserve this. I deserve the guilt. I deserve the shame. I deserve the consequence. I deserve it. Jesus seems to look at me, say, no, son, let me have it. Let me have your sin. Let me have your pain. No, God, I did it to myself. I deserve it. My marriage won't make it. This is what I deserve. I deserve divorce. I deserve poverty. I deserve sickness. I deserve it all. No! God, I'm so ashamed. Give me your shame. But God, what if I do it again? I'll still be here. Oh, God, I don't want to hurt you. I love you. I don't want to do this anymore. Give me your sin, son. This is all we got. It's all I got. It's all you got. We can play games. We can play church games. We can pretend like some people are better than others and that's why they're blessed, or we can all come to the honest conclusion that it's God. And it's God alone. The greatest challenge is not your discipline, your devotion, your focus. Your greatest challenge is believing the gospel. Could it be that there's a God with a love so scandalous, so wide, so deep, so vast, so high, so expansive, so welcoming, so inclusive. Let me have your sin, son. Okay. When I give him my sin, I stand in this empty space of forgiveness and acceptance while Jesus walks off to the cross that I deserve. I see him walking to the post to be whipped. As I stand a free man, all the attention is turned now. And I feel the love of God saying, go, son, live your life. I'll pay the price. Where did we get off thinking that we were gonna set ourselves free? It's still Jesus. It'll always be Jesus. It'll never stop being the power of Jesus. If his blood is sufficient for your salvation, his blood is sufficient to sustain you through every challenge and every sin and every temptation. Jesus is enough.
I wanted to show you guys that video because I needed to hear something like that when I was sitting in the same chairs as you. And you know what I probably did? But I was just too dumb to listen to it. I was too selfish. I sat in these same chairs. And I would sit and I would listen. And I want to take it home. And you know, some of you are going to be graduating soon. And life only gets harder from here. And some of you have a few years. Take advantage of this. Because you know what happened to me When I got out of high school, things went south for me. And I didn't deal with it in the way that I should have dealt with it. I didn't look to God. I looked in myself. And you know what that brought me? That brought me into drugs. That brought me into alcohol. I started partying. I find myself at a house waking up where there's pills all over the table and I have a beer next to me and there's a drug dealer in the house dealing drugs. And I wish I would have really taken this seriously back then so I wouldn't have had to go through the pain that I went through, because back then I felt so pathetic that I didn't need to be here anymore. And it took one night where I felt so ashamed, so awful, so pathetic for what I've done and what was going on. I just cried out to God, please, Lord, I'm tired of this. From here on out, I'm going to put you first in my life and I'm going to do everything in your name, but I can't do this anymore on my own. And some people will say I'm crazy, but that night I heard God talk to me and he said, you're worth it. You're worth it to me. And that's what I want you guys to feel. I don't want you to go through any of that. But in every day of your life and everything you do, I want you to hear God speak to you. I want you to feel his love so much every day so you don't have to go through any of the crap this world gives you. It starts with the unseen. It starts with eternity. It starts with God. And I want to read this verse. It's in 2 Corinthians. It says, therefore, do not give up, even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. So we do not focus on what is seen, but we focus on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That's what I want you guys to focus on. That's where your faith starts. That's where you'll feel God's joy. See, life is going to hit us. It's going to hit us hard. But if we focus on what's ahead of us and what God's got planned for us, nothing's going to take that joy away. If we truly have faith in him and we listen to him and we truly love him, he will take care of you. Because if we believe in Jesus, we have eternal life. And there's nothing greater than that. I want you to go ahead, bow your head and close your eyes. And for a minute, I just kind of want it to be quiet. And I want you to listen for God. Talk to him. Tell him how much you love him. Listen to him. Because just like that video said, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what the past looks like. We're all Barabbas. And God loves us all so much that he gave his only son for each and every single one of us. Jesus died in our place. He took all that pain, he took all that shame, he took all that guilt, he took all those feelings of regret, feeling pathetic, whatever it may be that might be on your heart, he took that, and that does not have to define you anymore. He loves you so much that he takes away your chains of sin. That everything that you think the world labels you as isn't true. If we have faith in God, he's going to take care of his children. But we have to be willing to trust him and love him with everything we have. And I know some of you tonight, seeing that video, hearing what we've been talking about, you might be wondering who this God is, who this Jesus is. Why did he die for me? How do I know I can go to heaven? If you have that question, would you be bold enough to just look me in the eyes? Just me and you will see it. Because I'd love to talk to you. If you can't answer the question of knowing without a doubt you're going to go to heaven tonight if you were to die, if you can't answer that question with all certainty, I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to have a conversation with you. Lord, we love you so much. Lord, I just pray in here tonight that all of us will take the opportunity to be vulnerable, to be humbled, Lord. And understand it's not about us, Lord. We can't fix any of the problems in our lives, Lord. We can't do this on our own. We need you. And everything we do, Lord, we do it in your name. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. I know sometimes it might not seem like it, Lord, but we love you. I pray tonight that we take a step forward in our relationship with you, Lord, that our hearts are open to you. We get to know you so we can fully feel your love, Lord. Lord, if someone doesn't know you tonight, Lord, I would love to have a conversation with them, Lord. Any of our leaders would love to have a conversation, Lord. And I just pray that you soften their heart, Lord. Give them courage to come up to one of us, Lord, and have that conversation, Lord. Because this is all about eternity, Lord. Lord, this life is temporary, just like you say. We need to focus on the eternal things, Lord. We need to focus on you. And we need to be selfless and serve others, Lord, so that they, in turn, may see eternity, Lord. Lord, we love you and we praise you in all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.